This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
And a pleasant good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Sports Talk. Mike Haas filling in for Steve Geller, along with Saints sideline reporter Jeff Nowak. Charlie Long is in the booth. And we are looking forward to 3 hours of just kind of settling in for the weekend. It's Labor Day weekend. Some people are off on Monday. Not everybody will be off on Monday, but college football, high school jamborees tonight. I mean, it doesn't feel like football out there, but we had a lot of games last night. So this is when it really begins.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, like, I keep reminding myself, oh, yeah, LSU plays tomorrow. LSU plays tomorrow. It's like, it just creeps up on you. And then all of a sudden, it's all, you know, it does not slow down. My wife was like, I'll see you next year. You know, all of the weekends are gone again. You know, we're that time of year.
Yeah. No, it's, I believe in transparency. You know, I'm the Saints play-by-play, Jeff's Saints sideline. That's a lot of our focus.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just is. Right, and I was like, "Oh, hosting Friday. That's probably going to be some college football. Oh, I better get on that." But it's exciting. It is. I mean, I look forward to Tulane's 11 o'clock tomorrow against Northwestern. LSU's at night. You got Texas.
Tulane is a 5.5-point favorite against Northwestern. That's big for them.
I just think Northwestern had such a rough kind of year, and you wonder to me. Can Tulane kind of pick up where they were with a new quarterback?
Tulane's not a 5.5-point favorite against Big Ten schools very often. Let's put it that way.
That's probably true. They don't play a ton, right?
Yeah, they've played enough.
But don't you feel like do you feel it's offline?
I'm just saying like that's telling of where people view Tulane right now.
Yeah,
I agree. I mean, John Summerall, like it was easy to look at that program and say, oh, they might just fall off a cliff when, you know, Fritz left. But hey, you know, like John Summerall comes in. They had a good year. They had some frustrating moments. They lost their quarterback, you know. And so just to be getting that level of respect at this point in the season, you know, I think that's telling of what they've built over the last 5-6 years.
Right? I agree. Totally.
When I moved down here in 2015, right, Tulane was not on the conversation topic on the college football stage. Like, obviously, Tulane has all this history, but they've kind of been forgotten about and, you know, kind of left to rot in the American Athletic Conference. And it's just cool to kind of see a program build itself up the way they have.
No, I agree. And last year was so hard because they started off well. I mean, first off, you play Oklahoma early, you play Kansas early, and you know it's tough. You start off 1-3, then they win 4 straight, and then they just finish so poorly. I mean, it's a team, and we're going to talk. I should just do that off the top. In our next segment, we're going to talk with Maddie Hudak. She's the Tulane football sideline reporter, as well as a scouting alum. So we're going to talk to her. At 5:20, we're going to talk to Zach Nagy, publisher of LSU Tigers on Sports Illustrated, at Zach Nagy 20. And at 6:20, we'll talk with Don Munson, voice of Clemson football. So we'll have all of that coming your way, where this is just really the appetizer to get you going. But I agree. I mean, they finished so poorly, a team that averaged 35 points, and in their final three, what did they score, 8, 14? I mean, it was brutal.
They got kind of boat raced by Army there in the bowl game, or the championship game.
34-24, 35-14, and then, you know, lost in the Gasparilla Bowl 33-8. So, but still, all that considered, average 35. So you put up some points prior to that. So I'm, you know, 11 a.m. I'm looking forward to it. And then you have a big break, and then LSU tomorrow evening at Clemson, trying to end what is a weird streak to me.
5 years without
Yes.
That doesn't happen. You know, when's the last? What's the last opener they won? Was it 2019? Yeah, they haven't won an opener since the championship year.
Yeah.
Like they have not won an opener game since the COVID pandemic.
But they haven't been bad games, most of them.
Some of them were. Mississippi State was a bad game.
The Florida State in the Dome.
The second Florida State one was bad.
The second Florida State. Well,
that was the one in Florida, yeah.
Yeah, the one of the Superdome was crazy.
Yeah, well, like, it ended on the missed or the blocked PAT, that I think if Brian Kelly had to do it again, he would have never kicked.
Right.
Because later in that year, they ended up in a very similar situation. They went for two against Alabama to win, and he probably wishes he had that one back. But I do, you know, I appreciate it because you say Clemson correctly, and I think we could take a moment for people to remember there's a P in Clemson. You don't see it. You don't spell it that way, but you'll get it right if you just spell it C-L-E-M-P-S-I-N, Clemson. Correct. That is the correct way to pronounce it. A lot of people want to put a Z in there. They want to say Clemson. No, not like crimson. Clemson. Clemson. Ask Brian Brzee. He'll get it.
Tell him. Where did you work prior to here?
I lived in Myrtle Beach for 4 years.
So you did some South
Carolina.
Talked
a good bit about Clemson there. Yes. It's the way you say it. That is the definitive way you say it.
I'm with you. As soon as you said it, I went, well, God, what have I been saying?
I didn't
know there was another way to say it.
I have to correct Steve all the time.
I didn't know there was another way to say it.
Yeah, there's a P in there. Most people don't know that.
So Dabo Swinney, and yeah, it is. It's the LSU-Florida State game, the one at the Dome. I went back because I was shooting video up in
the
stands.
First game for Jaden Daniels.
Yep, shooting video up in the stands. It was just the final 2 minutes probably took 30 minutes. Yep. The referees were on the field, off the field, on, stop, go talk to this coach. It was insanity.
I want to say Malik Nabers fumbled like multiple punts in that game. Was that Malik Nabers? Am I making that up?
I don't know.
I can't remember who was returning punts. I think it might have been Nabers.
At the start of the renovation. We were kind of in it. So it was, and I think I can say this. This was professional drinking on a new level that I had seen between these two schools in the Superdome. You couldn't move in the concourses. And it was like, you see, this is what we're doing. The new renovation, wider concourses, that game was just crazy. So we'll talk about LSU and Clemson and Tulane as well, Texas and Ohio State. The Micah Parsons deal. What was the numbers on Parsons? You said.
Oh, I don't have it in front of me, but he had $120 million guaranteed. Let's see. Actually, I do think I have it in front of me. Yeah, $44 million signing bonus, $62 million guaranteed through the first year, $100 million through two, $141 million through three. So yeah, it's like a $220 million contract. He's the highest paid non quarterback, and he's pretty close to being the highest paid quarterback.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's that.
I think it's $47 million a year.
As we were talking about, that's the cost to win the battle, right? That was going to be the cost.
Well, once you trade for him, I mean, it's 5 years, $210 million. Once you make that trade, you don't have much leverage in a negotiation. You're paying the guy. It's just a matter of what his asks are.
You're right. Want to shout out to Magazine Pizza for feeding our Saints game day crew. Magazine Pizza, 1068 Magazine, dine-in or delivery. The best gourmet pizza selection in town. Magazine Pizza also has pastas, sandwiches, wings, and salads. MagazinePizza.com. We will talk about Tulane and their battle with Northwestern coming up next with Matty Hudak. Keep it right here on Sports Talk, WWLAMFM.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. Mike Haas along with Jeff Nowak. Getting ready to talk some Tulane football against Northwestern. And Jeff said, they haven't played, you know, too often. A lot of Big Ten teams. The last time they played Northwestern, October 6th, 1956. The first time they played them?
Wow.
1925. 18-7, Tulane won. Pre-Depression, Calvin Coolidge.
Man, that was
your 30th president at the time.
It was like an offensive showdown.
Yeah, 18-7.
Yeah.
So tomorrow at 11 a.m. at Yulman Stadium, it'll be Tulane against Northwestern. Joining us now is Tulane's sideline reporter as well as a Scouting Academy alum, Maddie Hudak. Hey, Maddie, how you doing, girl?
I'm doing well. I haven't heard stats about Calvin Coolidge since Tulane won the conference championship 2 years ago.
I know you were like, oh, God, he's not going to toss it to me with anything about Calvin Coolidge.
You can always trust Haas to come in with the Calvin Coolidge stats.
That's right. You never know. You know, when you get to be my age. All right. So here's the question. It is 4:28 on Friday, August 29th. Do we have a quarterback yet for Tulane tomorrow against Northwestern?
I don't know if it's really been officially announced, but as Summerall said last week, you can kind of read off of who is taking the majority of the one reps last week, and that was Jake Retzloff.
Yeah, makes sense, right? BYU, great proven arm, almost 3,000 yards, but you wonder if Brendan Sullivan gets in a little bit, right? I mean, maybe just a little?
Yeah, so I believe he's going to be available. We did see him a little bit in practice this week. I think it's just kind of a question of, you know, not trying to rush that back, but it wouldn't surprise me if we saw, you know, some package or two, especially if he's able to use his legs. Yeah, it's just an incredible asset that he has.
Yeah, I guess I should say Brendan Sullivan is from Northwestern. 1287, the Tulane hard in the transfer portal after losing Darian Mensah. So we'll see.
Yeah, Maddie, I mean, 5.5-point favorites against Northwestern. You know, Haas and I were talking about when we came on, you know, it's interesting to watch this Tulane program, and I don't know what the expectations were with Summerall coming in, but you know, he kind of hit the ground running. Obviously, there were some fits and starts last year, but, you know, that's a line you see to open a season about a team that has some expectations, right? Has some national clout behind it. You know, what are your kind of top-end expectations? What do you want to see this team achieve this year, and what would kind of be the next step for Summerall as he kind of builds this thing?
Yeah, so I think the expectations kind of match just with you look at the caliber of transfers that they were able to get this season versus last year, where, yeah, John Summerall was an up-and-coming coach with the Troy Trojans. He had a foothold in Louisiana from being the defensive coordinator back in 2013 at Tulane. But I think the second year is really where you're starting to see that take off, where the potential of this team before that kind of downward slide at the end of the season was clearly there. And a lot of that has to do with Coach Summerall. I think you've seen that both on the recruiting trail and in the transfer portal, where you, A, have several freshmen, several from local Louisiana high schools that are credibly going to be able to play this year. But the quarterback room, you know, last year it was Darian Mensah kind of came out of nowhere already on the roster. This year you had three starting quarterbacks who had played a season of football at the FBS level all come to compete here. And two of those are at the Power 4 level. Then you look at the defensive line and all the proven transfer players they were able to get there. So I think that's where you see a lot of the expectations. You want to see them all put it together tomorrow on the field. But, you know, huge credit to Summerall and what he's done in these 2 years.
Tough start last year. I said Kansas. I meant Kansas State. That was week two. You know, you play Kansas State very close, you know, 34-27. Then you got to play Oklahoma. So you 1-2 start, but then you went to 8 straight. And I got to believe the way this team finished stings to this team. Like, they remember how they finished last year. And maybe not the bowl game, because bowl games are different, but just kind of Memphis, Army, Florida, you know, finish. Feels like they got something to prove.
Yeah, I think, you know, you kind of, there's only so many players left from that team to be able to feel that way. But I think a lot of the identity of these guys that have come over in the transfer portal, the quarterback room, Maurice Turner kind of having a chip on their shoulder. You know, Maurice Turner hasn't played since, I believe, September or something of last year. He got hurt and was out for the entire season. And so a lot of these guys that are stepping into these roles here have that chip on their shoulder, have kind of a lot to prove to show that there has been that much turnover, but it doesn't really matter. But the last couple of years for Tulane have kind of ended in misery outside of the Cotton Bowl. And so the guys that are left from that, I think, really want to, A, start strong, but have that strong start to know that you're going to be able to see the finish line and finish in a different way.
Yeah, you know, so for those of us who aren't as familiar with Retzlaff, what's kind of your scouting report, assuming he is the starting quarterback tomorrow?
Yeah, so he can make every throw, his touch is there. He also has the ability to use his legs. He's comfortable with it, and I think you'll see that really be an asset and just a huge difference maker from what the quarterback situation was last year. Darian Mensah still kind of getting his feet wet as a quarterback. You don't have that in Retzlaff, and that's really impressive to say when, I mean, legitimately, he got onto campus a week before the season started. It's a completely different system. They use that kind of snap cadence count at BYU. It's all verbal here at Tulane. So to be able to learn the entire system, and when there was an opportunity with Brendan Sullivan going down, he'd be able to step in and really lead the way like that. I think the intangibles and the leadership really stick out with him as well. But he's really just a well-rounded quarterback that, quite honestly, Tulane shouldn't have ended up with when they did. It's a really weird situation in college football, and I really think it changes Tulane's situation this year.
Do you think, even though there's a lot of new players, that it's still kind of foundationally a team that wants to go out? They averaged 35 last year. I think defensively gave up 20. I mean, you know, that they want to be that kind of offense, irrespective that it's the new players, the style of offense that they play, that go out and just push it up and down the field.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this game especially, and it really depends on the weather tomorrow, where, you know, if it's a rainy game, we could see a totally different game plan. But the idea with this weather advantage here is you almost kind of want to catch Northwestern off guard. They're going to want to shorten the game and run the ball a lot. So yeah, that's going to be Tulane's bread and butter. But at least to start, you might see a little more tempo and just a little bit trying to catch them on their heels before I believe they are going to really settle into what we know their identity is, which is, you know, setting up the pass by running the ball quite a bit. And they don't have Mekhi Hughes this year, but they have Maurice Turner and a really strong room behind him. I think the depth there is really night and day from last year.
Yeah, I mean, you talk about the depth. I'm curious, you know, are there a couple names you can throw out that, you know, people might not have on their radar right now that by the end of the season, especially on offense, we'll be talking about a lot?
Yeah, I think the two transfers from FAU are two to watch. The running back, Zuberry Mobley, he'll probably back up Maurice Turner. Omari Hayes, he's a shifty wide receiver and a really good punt returner for FAU last year, so you'll see him doing that as well as Maurice Turner on kickoff returns. The tight end room is interesting. I think Justin Reed as a pass catcher is going to be one to watch. True freshman Javen Gordon at running back, it might be someone you see a little bit of. And I think a name everyone's excited about and knows about on offense, Shaz Preston. I think he's really set up to have a good year this year. And you've just seen him have that chemistry with these quarterbacks. There's just a little bit of unprovenness, I think, at the wide receiver position, but there's a lot of potential, including, you know what, again, a true freshman, Oliver Mitchell out there, Zy Carl Lewis. There is quite a bit of names that you might not know a lot about, but would keep on your radar tomorrow for sure.
It's early, right? It's beginning of the season, but this is a pretty, you know, big statement game, only because when you kind of look, they play South Alabama next week two, and then you get Darian Mensah and his return, Duke week three, and then you go to Oxford week four. So, I mean, you got in your first four games, Northwestern, Duke with your returning quarterback, and then in Oxford against Ole Miss, man, this is a great way to start.
Yeah, it really is. There's two sides of the coin there where I think, you know, if you're afraid of competition, if you're afraid of, you know, playing with the best in this out-of-conference schedule is extremely daunting. But you look at the way Tulane played Kansas State last year, and you wonder if they were able to pull that win off what the season would have looked like, what the perception of them would have looked like. And I think there's also an opportunity, you know, not to get too ahead of themselves, but having the college football playoff favorite for that G5 spot in Boise State kind of, you know, not do well in their opening game and lose to an AAC opponent. Tulane's not going to play them this year unless they make it to the AAC championship together. But I think that really kind of opens a lane for this team to go out there and show what they can do against some really credible opponents.
Yeah, you know, I feel like Tulane is in a kind of unique situation because you talk about LSU and, you know, the college football playoff, and, you know, it always felt like they had a chance to get in there. With Tulane and some of these smaller programs, that was always kind of punching up, and you never really could tell, oh, how good is this team really relative to some of these other conferences? With the expanded format, it's got to feel like, hey, it's like, hey, you know, a different world almost. Of, if we take care of our business in conference, we can be in that college football playoff. And it doesn't really matter whether people take us seriously or not, because if you get in that bracket, you're there. Just as a smaller program, it's got to be a game changer when you can sell that, especially on the recruiting trail and the transfer portal. Whereas, you know, in the past, it'd been like, well, if you want a chance at the college football playoff, you got to go to one of these big schools. It's not really the case anymore.
Oh, 100%. I think, too, when you're kind of asking before what the effect is in this second season, I think, you know, Summerall got out there in his intro press conference and said this team's going to go to the college football playoffs. Yeah, again, maybe if they beat Kansas State last year. But they were also in the conversation after shutting out Navy the way they did at the end of the season last year. So it goes to show that they're really in play for that spot. And for a lot of these guys, you might be getting some Power Four offers. There's the question of playing time, and then there is the question of, is there actually a better path to the college football playoff here at Tulane? And so that's where I think you're no longer seeing them have to go and pick up these undersized guys to kind of, you know, punch above their weight class. They're really able to recruit the type of guy and the type of player, both, you know, in character and in on the field, that they want to recruit, and be able to actually sell them a credible story in that.
I don't know. I've interviewed him, but I don't know him, John Summerall. So, I mean, you just look at the transfer portal, right? And you look at, believe me, we talk about NFL players during this past training camp who had some tie to him. Troy followed him to Tulane, whatever it is. I mean, he must have that special, you know, ingredient from a transfer portal to just guys willing to walk through walls for him. I mean, tell me about him.
Yeah, he really does. He's one of the best motivators I've seen, and just in terms of knowing what makes guys tick. And his recruiting relationship, you know, Retzloff is another guy where he recruited him to Troy, was the only FBS offer he had for a while until BYU came out of nowhere. That relationship really played a strong role in why Tulane has him on their team right now. And I just, you know, he said before his best and worst trait might be his brutal honesty. I think without question, that's his best trait. I think it's in today's college football with NIL and, you know, trying to get guys in the transfer portal, you're hearing a lot of messy snake oil salesman type stuff. And I think, you know, Summerall is just firmly the opposite in that. And some guys might not want, you know, they might want to be promised something. But I think when you're looking for the type of player that Summerall wants to recruit, when he has that brutally honest conversation and they're about that, I think you recruit the right type of guys that want to be there and all really buy into this culture. But I think it starts with him really, you know, when he says the best players will make it on the field, it doesn't matter what your NIL deal is, what you were, you know, at your last program, it matters what you do here. And you saw that in the quarterback competition and the decisions they made last year. He has a pretty good resume for, you know, showing that.
You know, Maddie, I always get a kick out of it when I'm watching the Tulane game on TV, and like it goes to half and I can see you like chasing down the head coach on the sideline with a microphone. And, you know, I can always tell, you know, that you just genuinely enjoy being out there, and I appreciate it because it's a fun thing to be a sideline reporter. I do it for the Saints, and, you know, there's the energy of the game that you just can only get down there on the sideline with the speed and the impact, even. It's just like, it's like being near a car crash. How excited are you to get back out there tomorrow?
I totally agree. That was such kind of an unexpected surprise. It was just the complete adrenaline rush, right, that the sideline brings. And again, to your point, I don't think I appreciated things like, you know, when I saw Tajay Spears that far away, what he's really able to do, how really hard it is at the line of scrimmage, and just the sound of everything. It is super exciting. And I think, again, you know, having this opening day be against the opponent it is and have really a lot of excitement and expectations here for this Tulane team, I am very excited to take the field, really, no matter what the blistering weather is going to be.
Yeah, it's supposed to rain, be warm and rainy. So three things. First off, I think you were being enormously kind to Boise State, who got drilled by South Florida 34-7. And you do have your rain suit, right, already?
Yeah, from the military bowl. I have my garb still.
There you go. And 11 o'clock, man, I'm not a huge fan. It's tough, you know, 11 a.m. But feel free, you know, if you need to use the Calvin Coolidge stuff tomorrow, it's yours. It's all yours.
Perfect. I'll be looking for that to throw in the broadcast.
No, have a great call tomorrow, great day on the sidelines, and a great season. It's all setting up, but a really, really good start. Love to see him play these quality football teams early and get a win tomorrow. And Ben, stay as dry as you can.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Roll wave. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Maddie.
Thanks, Maddie.
It's at Maddie Hudak _94. She's the Tulane sideline reporter. Also a alum of the Scouting Academy. We'll take a break. Come back here on Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak with you until 7 o'clock tonight here on WWLAMFM.com and always free on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Sports Talk, and let's go right to that Oakland Heart Talking text line. Gregory in Metairie is holding. Gregory, welcome to the show. You're on with Mike Hoss and Jeff Nowak. What you got for us?
Hey, so great to hear your voice on this show. I mean, and hey, Jeff, you do an excellent job.
Oh, thank you.
So excited about Tulane football. No, that's fine. So excited about Tulane football. Love Maddie. Season ticket holder. I'm an alumni, and I don't care. I don't care if it's an 11 o'clock game. I don't care if it's a midnight game. I go to Yulman Stadium. It's a beautiful place. Have you guys been there? Dude, that's what I'm trying to say. These locals need to go to Yulman Stadium and see Tulane football. That is New Orleans' original local team. That's our original home team. And I don't care if they win or lose. It's still fun. And Tulane's been good the last couple of years. Man, we almost beat Ole Miss the year before. And the second half, they got us. But, man, we were playing them well.
No, you're right. It was very close. Second half and turnovers, very costly. Now, you're right. Tulane football for locals used to be the thing. My brother-in-law, I was not born here, but they used to go to Tulane games every week. Now, you know, pretty big stadium. You could get pretty good seats. But you're right. It's a great atmosphere. I'm with you.
My very first football game was at Tulane Stadium. I was 5 years old. That's 1966, the year before the Saints came on board. And then, thank God for my dad. God bless him. You know, he's in heaven. He was a season ticket holder for the Saints. My grandfather went to Tulane. My father went to Tulane. And I went to Tulane on a scholarship for the Navy. I went to the ROTC program there. And thank God for Tulane. I spent 23 and a half years in the Navy because of Tulane. And I'll always support Tulane. And more locals need to go to those games. They're fun. And that stadium is beautiful. And I just want to thank you and Maddie and Jeff Nowak for pointing that out.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's fun to see them on, you know, I appreciate that they're getting more national attention these days because, you know, it's a program that's been building, right? And it does seem to take a few years before people start to take you seriously. And especially now with the transfer portal being what it is, if you're not a competitive team year over year, like, it's hard to draw that. Like, people, like, I think in the transfer portal, especially the NIL era, they're just like, okay, how much money am I going to make? Am I going to get attention? Am I going to be on TV? Like, and I just feel like there's a certain point where you reach that level for programs, and I think Tulane's there now, which is cool to see.
And, Gregory, as we say goodbye, we appreciate your support and your service to the country. So thank you very much, and thanks for the phone call. I'll take a break. This is Sports Talk. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak back after this on WWL. Welcome back. Working our way towards news at 5 o'clock on this Friday, August 29th. Mike Hoss, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long in the booth, and we're going to continue with Tulane because, Charlie, you hear John Sumrall. You know, Tuesdays.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Tulane Tuesdays. He calls. He's probably a very genuine, nice person, guy on the phone, right? Calls early. Probably you chat a little bit.
He's authentic, man.
Yeah.
I love Coach Sumrall. Listen, you know, watching, because I'm a UL grad, so I follow the Sun Belt pretty tightly.
Don't sleep on the Sun Belt, baby.
No, I mean, Hoss, you and I are on the same wavelength there. We both saw what he did at Troy in the 2 years that he was there. And then he comes to Tulane and instantly has awesome success in his first year. You know, the program that Coach Fritz had built there, after Fritz moves on to Houston, Sumrall was just the easy hire, like the easy answer for them there. Now, when we've talked with Coach Summerall throughout the offseason this year, he's talked about all the new pieces that he's had to replace from last year's team. But another thing that was interesting when Mike and I were interviewing him, I think it was this past week, we talked about the non-conference slate and something that you had brought up with Maddie. They host Northwestern, a Big Ten opponent. They travel to South Alabama, a Sun Belt opponent that he's familiar with his experience at Troy. They host Duke, an ACC opponent, and then they go to Ole Miss, an SEC opponent, and a top 25 ranked opponent at that. Tulane's non-conference slate is really, really impressive for a Group of Five school. And if they can get out of it, I'm not even going to say necessarily unscathed, but if they can get out of that stretch like 3-1 and then get into their American Athletic Conference schedule and kind of roll through, they're going to be set up very, very well looking at the end of the season for that Group of Five spot in the 12-team college football playoff. One other thing I wanted to bring up here, guys, was I looked up the AAC preseason odds for the champion. Tulane is very slight favorites. You know, you see some conferences like the Big 12 where it's just a bunch of different teams that are all loaded as far as the preseason odds go. But Tulane is slight favorites to win the American Athletic Conference this year. They're right up there with Navy, South Florida, who, as you mentioned, had that really impressive win against Boise, UTSA, Memphis. But Tulane is number one, and we'll see if Coach Summerall and the Green Wave can get it done.
Charlie, if you had to bet, if you had $100 to bet on one of these two teams making the college football playoff, who would it be, LSU or Tulane?
Ooh, that's a good
question. Because Tulane has an easier – they don't have to go through the SEC to get there.
Right.
Right?
And if you don't beat Clemson, your back's against the wall.
I would say ask me in 4 weeks.
No.
That's not the question.
Asking, no. It's a fake $100, Charlie.
It's a good question. I would say Tulane.
I would say Tulane, too.
Yeah. I would say Tulane.
And it's not because they're better, necessarily. It's because I think they have an easier road, and that's just the benefit of being in a small conference with this expanded playoff.
First four games will tell us a lot. We'll talk a lot more about LSU and Clemson. Saints are off this weekend. Mike Haas, Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long with you until 7 o'clock tonight. The news is next. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.